tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know what makes us who we are, but I got to figure it's more than just the sum of what we remember. Hey, everybody, welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 85. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
And Happy New Year. This is our first podcast of the new year. We kind of took several weeks off.
Yeah, we did.
So,
man, I haven't seen you guys since last year.
Yeah, we listened to our voices since last year. So, I know we picked up some new listeners. So, thanks for listening. Also,
New Year's resolutions. You are killing it right now.
Yes.
Today on the show, one of our friends of the show, Bill, wrote in, and he has got a great question for us that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about all the things that we watched over break and all that, and some great stuff that happened in Florida, and then what we're going to look forward to, because there's something coming up very soon that I'll probably have watched by next week that I'm so excited about. Comes out on the 13th. So, yeah, so welcome to 2017. Hope you guys had a great Christmas and New Year's and all that jazz. So yeah, we're gonna start off with what we've been watching. We just talk about some of the stuff we've seen and kind of what that worldview is, because we talk about the worldview of stuff that everything pushes a worldview.
Stuff.
Yeah, and so like movies, music, commercials, video games, all that jazz. So Adrian.
Yes.
What did you watch over break?
We watched a lot of stuff over break. I think you're going to talk about Sing, or we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Sing.
All right. So for Christmas, I got the Twilight Princess
for
the Wii U.
Oh,
and
It's an old game. Now it's 1080p.
Yeah. Haven't played it before, so.
What?
All right. So my first attempt at playing it. I'm pretty far along, actually.
So how do you know that? Because you haven't beat it. It doesn't tell you percentage.
Yeah, but based on what I need to do and my knowledge of, typical Zelda games, I know that I'm getting pretty close.
Get ready for the twist.
I thought I was done Yeah, you're right. There was a twist. I feel like it made me go further and play longer, but I love it. So, I mean, worldview, actually, I just read an article today, had no idea that it was Zelda-related, but it ended up being that like video games push us into these certain worldviews, and so the three things that they mentioned was it pushes us into action and guides us to the next step, inspires us and act out inspiring things that we normally wouldn't in real life, and build in an expectation that we'll win as long as we don't give up.
Yeah. I'm playing Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and all those things. I'm like, what was the first one?
They push us into action and guide us to the next step.
Yeah, because I'm like, last night I stayed up till way later than I wanted to play in this game, because I was like, oh, I just have one little more thing to do.
Right.
One little more thing
to
do.
And that's the same way it is with Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
And you have unlimited chances, even if you
die,
you just come right back to where you were. And so, anyway, I thought that was an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Saw Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That was really good. It's kind of what you would expect, kind of Disney movie.
It's these African-American women that, worked on the first space shuttle launch, right?
Right. And it's about the three of them all work at NASA, and it follows all three of them being successful in their own ways, and not only kind of getting rid of the stereotypes of African Americans, but also women being very smart.
And nobody knew that this was even a thing.
Right. And, I mean, one of them even is, down to the wire of John Glenn launching into space. Like, she makes the final decision.
Oh, really?
That kind of saves the whole mission.
Oh, wow.
So, and they actually named a building after her, and that's why the movie was released and stuff. So,
cool.
Anyway, it's funny. It's got a lot of good humor, and it's a feel-good movie. So there's not much unexpected that happens. But I really liked it.
Except when aliens get on the space shuttle. Yeah.
So, the one that I wanted to really talk about that maybe most of the listeners haven't heard of is called the Kettering Incident. It's BBC Australia. And
yeah, you told me about this, and I went and tried to find it on Netflix, and it wasn't on there, so thanks for getting my hopes
up. So, you have to have Amazon Prime. It's an Amazon Prime show. But I do have that, so watched it, binge watched it in 2 days. It's 8 episodes. It's similar to Lost in the concepts and ideas, and just kind of you don't know if it's time travel. You don't know if it's like
purgatory.
You don't know if it's another dimension. You don't know if there's something like actually supernatural happening, or if it can actually all just be explained by normal events just happening. You just don't know. It doesn't conclude yet either. It's ongoing.
This is the first season? Is this one season out?
Yeah, one season is out. But it's not filmed like Lost. It's more filmed like BBC. So there's grand sweeping landscapes and beautiful classical music and really almost slow but very suspenseful the whole time. So really liked that. A little bit of... And there's inappropriate things that happen, bad language. Oh. So
inappropriate.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, there's more just they kind of imply things than see it.
What worldview like does it talk about? I mean, does it kind of push a certain idea or theme or
the town that it takes place is an island and it's very bleak. Like, everyone, it's almost like everyone has a secret. Everyone is falling apart underneath the surface, and they're trying to just kind of survive on this island together. I don't know. It's pretty heavy. So just be aware of that, I guess. Just in terms of you're not going to feel, like, happy while you're watching it.
The feel-good movie of this year.
Yeah.
The Island. Of Kettering Incident. So, James! Oh, sorry. Were you...
Oh, no, I was just saying, it's like they're all trying to find their place. So yeah. I would say that's the worldview. It's just trying to figure out how they fit into...
Where do I fit?
...to life.
All right. James!
When's the last time we even recorded? I'm trying to, like, remember. What have I done?
Yeah, nothing. We went to Passion this past week. James and I went to Passion, which is this giant 55,000 college student conference. Adrian was supposed to go to, and then she conveniently got sick and had to binge watch the Kettering Incident.
That's true.
That's a bummer.
So
I know. It is a bummer.
It was great.
It's a really cool conference.
Yeah, we liked it. So
go look it up.
Let's rub it in.
All right, you said you got a PlayStation 4.
I did.
Welcome to the family, James. Finally. Hey, if people want to be your friend on PlayStation, what's your name?
Justin Martyr.
So it's M-A-R-T-Y-R.
M-A-R-T-R-Y-R.
Oh.
Martyr, like Martyr.
I have no idea. Justin I'm Shad Attack, S-H-A-D underscore attack.
Let me type it out real fast. Okay, Justin with a capital J, and then it's all one word, and then Martyr.
Nobody's going to follow you.
M-A-R-T-Y-R, yeah. Did you say that?
So, yeah.
Martyr.
So, we're going to play some Destiny.
He's known as an early Christian apologist.
That's great.
Yeah.
He was an apologist. Okay.
Second century. He was martyred.
So did you watch? I saw this movie that
anime.
Oh no, I was talking about the Chris Pratt movie, Pratzel.
Passengers.
Yeah.
Have we not talked about that?
No, we haven't talked about
that. I'm sorry, I can't remember. It's been such a long time since I've been on the show.
It was before Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
The 19th.
Yeah, I did watch Passengers. Fantastic.
I did
movie.
See that.
The more
you saw Passengers.
Yeah.
All right,
we could take that through the worldview machine.
What are you guys thinking about?
Oh man, I can't wait because it says a lot about marriage. Yes.
Did you like it?
I liked it. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I'm like,
James really liked
it. I'll go back and watch it.
Adrian, not so much?
No.
What?
It was just weird.
Are you kidding me? Weird? How is it weird?
I really liked the world building. Like, the spaceship was super cool.
Yeah.
And just that idea. But, and I, yeah, so the
what else
the
was
view
weird,
was...
Did it seem a little bit cheesy? Because in the trailer, that line where she goes, "You die, I die." I'm like, that seems weird.
What?
No. No, but in the actual movie, though, it makes sense that she says that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You saw... Did you see it?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it.
He doesn't care. He doesn't watch
it,
movies.
Yeah, it's worth renting, I think.
Renting? That's a little bit more valuable than just renting.
$2 theater.
And who rents stuff anymore anyway? Nobody rents things.
From the library.
Yeah, that's free. You're not even paying anything for that.
I rent things all the time. I rent from movies where? All the time. Online.
Really?
Like iTunes and stuff.
Huh.
How else would you watch movies that if I come watch and go?
The library. Netflix. If it's not on Netflix, it's not good enough for me.
Not worth it.
Yeah, pretty
Netflix
much.
Netflix is getting some good movies now.
It was a great movie. Heck, you know, I gave it a 69. I'm gonna push it up to a 75.
75.
Maybe even a 79.
Okay.
It was like the more I think about tonight.
Okay.
Because I want to help it out.
By yourself, because James goes to the movies alone. So there's Passengers.
La La Land.
All right, one more. Okay, La La Land. Give me the world.
No, I didn't watch that. I might watch that tonight. All right, we'll see.
Give me one more thing you watched.
Anime. And it's called Erased, and it's great, and it's basically like the Butterfly Effect. So have you seen Ashton Kutcher's The Butterfly Effect?
No.
So basically, there's moments in time when you can go back and you can change stuff. You can change your present time, but going back in the past. And so basically, he has this superpower. And he's able, not really, he can't control it, but things happen. Like, he'll repeat, he'll get on a repeat until he fixes the problem. So, he'll relive stuff. And you're like, wait, I was just here, I just saw this. And so he has to find out what's wrong.
So is it sometimes like a short period of time, or is it like,
so
it's not like Groundhog Day where he relives the whole day.
Okay. Nope, and he can go all the way back. He might sometimes go back, because he's 29-year-old, he's like, I haven't done anything with my life. And then he goes back to when he's 10 because his community was a part of some murders, some abductions and murders, and basically he's going back in time to fix it.
Oh, cool.
And he doesn't control that, though, but he's been sent back in time. And so he's like, well, I'm here now, what am I supposed to do? Because the opening scene is he works at a pizza place, and he's driving to the pizza place, away from the pizza place, and he sees all these people, he like looks around, and then a second later, he's seeing all the same stuff, and he's like, uh-oh, something's wrong. And then that's when he notices a truck that's out of control, and he turns around, chases it down, and he's able to save a kid because it's careening towards a kid. And so then that's when it lets him continue going because he fixed it.
Ah, so you always talk about anime, but this one sounds actually pretty interesting.
It is. And
where would we see it?
On Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
It's called Erased, and it's subtitles. But here's the thing, so I've talked about symbolism, right? The cross is everywhere, but in this anime, they have a picture of the Lord's Supper. It's not like a detailed one, but you can make out the shapes. And this is over in Japan. This is taking place in a Japanese city, and in his house, in his family room, he has the Lord's Supper. And you're like, what?
That's interesting, because Japan doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, and they celebrate Christmas too.
Who Jesus is?
Yeah, but they, you know, in a lot of Japanese shows, they reference Catholics a lot. They reference the cross and the church a lot, and so that's very interesting. Also, they reference demons and all that.
Yeah,
mythical. Well,
the more mythical demons. Well, yeah, but the more
they're very spiritual.
Yeah, they got
people
say have
a lot of gods.
That's what I'm like. It should be easier then to talk to them about Jesus and God. Than not.
Like when Paul goes in and goes, hey, here's the... Like, they have all these different gods and different spiritual practices. And he's like, hey,
this is the God...
The unknown God. I'm going to tell you about him. You can know
him.
That's
what I've been watching. So.
Good. I watched Sing. I saw that. It was really good. I watched Finding Dory again. We got it for our kids. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Watched that with my kids. It was fun. It's a fun movie.
It's a little appropriate, right?
But yeah, it was. We watched it first to make sure because, you know, sometimes those movies you watch as a kid, you go back and you're like, this is inappropriate. Rise of the Tomb Raiders. I've been playing that quite a bit. It's really good. There's language in it and there's some gruesome deaths. But it's a fun game. You played that a little bit,
yeah,
James.
I did. I haven't finished it yet.
I just
farther
fought,
than you.
I fought the witch Baba Yaga last night. It was weird. The show I really liked that I saw was Travelers, or The Travelers, I don't know. Adrian, you saw this and didn't like it. You only got through 4 episodes, but I don't know. This is one of those shows that just really connected with me. I'll talk about it more as we send it through the Worldview machine in a few minutes. But the one I want to focus on is the Golden Globes. I watched those last night. It was on Sunday night. We recorded this on Monday, post on Tuesday. So the Golden Globes, I watch award shows, and every time I'm like, oh, this is going to be so funny. Jimmy Fallon was hosting. And there's those little moments that you're looking for that are fun and funny moments. The opening was really good. They did a throwback to Barb from Stranger Things. It was really funny. She like they did like a swimming pool sequence with her coming out of the pool, and it was like a it was really funny. You can watch that part online.
Did she act it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The worst part of the night, like just the speech, like everybody's speech is just so like, blah, like just come on.
What'd they talk about?
Dumb stuff. I'll say one more thing about that in just a second. But two highlights of the night when Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell introduced the best animated film. Oh man, go yeah. Find. I think there's a clip of that. I think you can find that one online. It is really funny. Like because they're just talking about the first animated film they saw in the theaters. But then they talk about these like horrible tragedies that happened around them. They're all made up, but it was really funny.
But are they?
I'm pretty sure they're made up. The best thing was they did the first jobs of actors and actresses. So they're like, there's a video. It was a video piece. And they're like, yeah, my first job as a waitress at the pizzeria. I, you know, changed bingo markers. I scooped dog poop at an event. Like, they just say all this stuff. And Chris Pratt is like, I'm an actor. He's like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to say what I did before this? I can't remember. I think I've just always been acting. So it was really funny. And it ended with Chris Pratt like making up a job. He's like, I was a golf boy. Because that's not even a thing. They laugh about it. And then it cuts to Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro goes, I was a golf boy. But just, oh man. Because Robert De Niro is so dry and just not. I mean, I know he plays in comedies, but it was so good. I rewound it and watched it again. And like was laughing until I almost passed out. It was very funny. But. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm yawning. Okay, here's what I don't like about award shows. Because every time I'm like, oh, this is going to be good, it's going to be funny. Like, Jimmy Fallon, like, he wasn't even on it that much. I was disappointed. Also, his teleprompter stopped working in the very first, like, thing. He comes out, he's like, and my teleprompter's not working. So he didn't know what to say.
What? He's always got something.
I know. He's like, oh, I guess
this is the year for things not working on stage. And
nope, that was 2016.
Well, yeah. That's true. That was 2016.
He did come out and said, he's like, I got a call from Mariah Carey over the commercial break, and she said, the people at the Dick Clark Productions messed up my teleprompter or something. It was pretty funny. But, okay, so here's why I get angry at the award shows. Because all these actors and actresses get up and, like, you do what you want with your life. Like, don't let people define you. And, like, this year in the movies, you know, we had this stuff and we pushed these agendas. And, they talk about all this stuff that they are like, yeah, we're free and we can do whatever and live however you want and love whoever you want and do all this stuff. But then, like, so Meryl Streep won the award, the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. Mm-hmm. And her whole speech was dedicated to, like, how awful Donald Trump is.
Okay, I'm like, she's overrated. She's yeah. The most overrated.
So Trump's great response was on Twitter at 5 in the morning. He's like, Meryl Streep is the most overrated actress of all time or something. I'm like, come on, man. Don't give in to what she already said. But she's like the most shocked I've been in the, I shouldn't say greatest performance, but just the most crazy thing that she saw all year. She talked about him making fun of a disabled reporter. Which I don't know that whole story, man.
Quit yawning,
man. Sorry. You make the biggest pauses ever.
I'm just letting that sink in. But so I don't know what that whole story was, because I should have done a better job and researched it. But because he defended himself, he's like, I didn't make fun. I drew a point to something they had said about me that they changed. Trump said this. He's like,
wait. You're making him sound different than I think he actually sounds. Can you?
Sorry. This guy said that I did this, but he changed his mind. Is that a good Trump? That's like the worst Trump.
Adrian, what do you think?
I don't know.
All right.
What's the point of this story?
The point of the story is that they get up and they're like, oh, but these people are saying all this stuff that we can't do, or they're living their lives how they want, and they get mad at them for it. We're like, it's a double standard. It's the thing like, I'll do whatever I want as long as what you do doesn't interfere with what I want to do. And so at some point, there's going to be different opinions of stuff, but But when people express their opinions, and even if, he shouldn't make fun of disabled people, if that's what really happened, I don't know. But it's like, leave me alone and let me do whatever I want, but then they get up on stage and get mad at people who do whatever they want, and they disagree with them. So it's like this double standard of, well, these people have these beliefs, and you have your beliefs, but I'm going to get mad at these people, and I'm going to, like, get up, and I have, you know, 5 minutes of, like, one of the biggest platforms, and I'm going to just rail on these people.
Nah, Golden Globe's not the biggest platform.
I mean, it's a lot of people watching, I imagine. Or they wouldn't keep doing them. Flock. Yeah, it probably did. I don't know. But that's what frustrates me about award shows, because it's all this like, yeah, we're all doing it, but these people are bad people. Like, come on. That's what I get mad about. So I was mad. So I played Tomb Raider. And killed people. Made me feel better about my life. So
fake people.
All right, it's time for
you found this one.
Yeah, so... You know what happens when you're mad at somebody?
You talk about them?
Yeah, if they cut you off in traffic.
Oh, man, that's
okay. But, okay, do you guys have road rage, either one of you?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you do when somebody, like, drives bad in front of you?
I just yell in my car. I don't do anything except talk like this in my normal voice, but...
Like, oh, come on. Way to drive. Learn to drive, buddy.
I don't honk or anything with... Clearly, I should have the other day, like, honked because they did a terrible mistake that almost got us in a wreck, but I didn't. I just sat there and was like, oh, okay. I just want to get back at people when they drive really fast or something, or they're riding on my tail.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I want to drive super slow.
Man, I know. If there's, like, two lanes of traffic, and there's somebody in this lane going really fast, so I'll get over and get in front of them. And then I get over here to drive past me, then I'm a bad driver.
You guys are terrible.
James, what do you do? Come on, what do you do?
I'm the person driving fast, so don't worry about it.
All right.
I think about you guys, I'm like, oh my gosh, who's this person? I am going to...
So this happened in St. Pete, Florida, where my friend Dave Howder lives. So it was a woman, so I'm guessing it was his wife, Chelsea. So this is probably her, because it sounds a lot like her. So... The title of the article, or the first line is, here's one customer at McDonald's who apparently wasn't loving it. So they're on the lookout for a woman driving a Nissan who followed another woman into a Mickey D's drive-thru, got out of her car, opened the other woman's car door, yelled at her, and then slapped her in the face.
A big slap, huh?
Yeah,
I love that.
The woman in the first car accidentally cut off the Nissan prior to the slapdown record show. The McSlap?
Why do they have records showing that?
I don't know.
What records do they have?
Traffic cams or something. St. Pete. They
have That's why I don't want to live in a town with a lot of cameras, because, you know, it's not good.
Because, okay, so, Adrian, would you ever get to a point that you would slap somebody in the face over their driving?
No.
Whatever. She does it all the time.
Even if I did it, they would be like, why'd you poke me? Because I probably am the weakest slapper ever.
She just goes home and throws things in her house.
She's yeah.
Like, ah! Rips the curtains off the wall. All that
yeah.
Stuff.
Probably do that.
Yeah. So, okay. I was thinking about this because this goes back to entitlement. Like, the worldview here is entitlement. If you do something wrong to me, then I have the right to get back at you.
Payback.
Yeah.
Payback.
Justice.
Revenge.
I'm entitled to you being a good driver, and if you're not a good driver...
I get to slap you.
I get to slap you.
That's
yeah.
a good worldview.
So they go up, and she just goes up and slaps this lady in the face. First of all, what's going through somebody's mind that you're like, I'm so angry at this person that they deserve to be slapped in the face?
Well, I think it's just like any anger, like acting before you think.
Yeah.
I don't think she really, in her mind, was like, well, this person deserves to be slapped, and went through all that in her head.
She said that.
It was just her actions went before her.
So I understand if it's like, okay, so we're walking down the street, and you trip, or you, like, fall out of, like, the side or something, and you knock me over, and, like, on accident. And you, like...
So you wouldn't slap her for that.
You flail and, like, knock me down, and you, like, land, like, next to me. And I just punch you, like, because I'm angry because you just, like, tackled me, and I think you're... That I can understand. But to, like, drive and follow this person in a McDonald's drive-thru and then get out and slap them, like, it's just like, man, there's something going on there. Yeah, because she can't go anywhere. Last night we have a new Starbucks drive-thru in our town, and I was in it, and it's really long, but there's a part where you can just exit out. I said, why is that in there? It's in case somebody's going to slap you. That's why. It's the Starbucks slap avoider. So I patented here first on Podcast Be Finder. So don't slap people that are in front of you at McDonald's. You're at McDonald's, for crying out loud. It's the happiest place on earth. Or is that Disney? $1 trillion company. So, uh-oh, guys. Let's push the button and turn on the worldview machine.
Oh, man. This we're going to miss a couple sounds today.
Okay.
All right. This is the part of the show where we take a movie. Shut up.
You deserve to be slapped.
All right, so slap yourself. All right, so this is where we take a movie or a TV show or a song or something, and we put it in the machine, and we ask some questions about it. And so I really want to talk about Travelers.
But we're going to talk about Passengers.
Or so, Sing.
None of us have all seen... So you both have seen Passengers. Adrian and I have both seen Sing.
Has seen Travelers.
Okay, so. Let me just talk about it for a few moments, because I loved this show. All right, first of all, I got to do my disclaimer. We have a disclaimer at the end of the show, but it is rated mature. It's rated mature for language. Like, throughout the season, there's probably like 12 to 15 F words and some S words, but there is violence. There's one episode where it's a little bit bloodier. It's like a surgery, but as far as like sexual content, there's implied stuff, but there's no nudity, and it's not even. I don't remember if there's anything close, but I did like that aspect, because I'm like, okay, because I tried to watch another show on Netflix, and the first episode there was like a inappropriate sex scene. I was like, I'm not gonna watch this now. So, but this one I liked. But here's why I like this. So the movie, what does this portray as the means to happiness? So. For them, the means to happiness is survival. So the basis of this show is way in the future, like 100 years in the future, hundreds of years in the future.
Which Earth, is it?
I said, I was trying to say hundreds, and I burped my Thai food that I had today. Oh, so hundreds of years in the future, there's these people that, like, life is not good on planet Earth. And so there's been all these factions that have formed and all this different stuff, all resources are depleted and all that. And so they figure out a way to send back people's consciousnesses into other people's bodies. So they wait, like they know the exact time of death, and they send people back into their consciousness right before they die.
What? So does that even work? So then the other person's going to die.
Yeah, well, they're going to die anyway. So like, it starts off this girl.
But how do they survive?
Yeah, well, listen. So this guy is in a boxing, he's in like an underground like fighting ring. He's a high school student. And so he's, like, trying to make money or whatever. And so he, like, gets beat up and he gets back up. And this guy, like, punches him and, like, knocks him out and knocks him down. And then his friend is like, don't get back up. Don't get back up. And he starts to stand back up. And as he does, then you, like, he's like, wah! Like, his brain, because his consciousness is being taken over. Because what would have happened was he was going to stand back up, walk over, and get punched in the face. And it was going to die. It was going to kill him.
How do we know that, though?
Because this is in the future. They know their point of death. So they know, like, this is their time of death because they have records of it. So, because they're in the future. So instead of... So they do preventable deaths. Uh-huh. So one episode, there's... they do portray Christianity sometimes, because there's one guy that's, like, this religious fanatic, and he's about to, like, blow up this...
Was he a Christian?
Like, online... Yeah. This online...
Christians don't do that.
Like webcam service or something. And then there's another group that, like, it was a cult, but they were reading the Bible and they were all going to drink Kool-Aid together. And it's really like, so there's some good like humor in the show. But basically, so there's a team of five from the future that come back. There's like a medic, there's a historian, there's different people that like do different things. And so these teams have missions from the director, this mysterious person from the future that says, hey, you need to go do this. And they a lot of times they don't know why. They're like, they'll get a mission, and they're like, okay, we've got to go get this thing. And we don't know why we've got to get this thing. And if they meet resistance. Yes.
Do they send... So, would they send you as a guy back into a girl's body?
They haven't dealt with that yet. Okay. So,
because that's interesting, because then it just treats it as a utility.
Yeah.
Right?
So, they haven't done that, but on this team that you follow, the... A guy and girl on the team are in love. I don't know if they're married or they have a relationship. In the future. And they come back and he has a wife. So that's what I like about the show, because they have to like they have to come back into this person and pretend to be that person. So they're like, because there's a guy that's like in the future, he's like 100 years old or something, but he's a high school student. And so he's like in this high school student's body.
He's like, yeah.
And the high school student was a jerk and all this stuff. And he's trying to like be kinder, but he blames it on this concussion that he got. He's like, yeah, the concussion, like personality can change and stuff. And so you have all these people that are like trying to figure out life while going on these missions that they don't really understand what they're doing. And then like one mission, they're like, okay, this is going to change everything in the future. We might not even exist anymore. And so they do the thing and they're like, we're still here. So we don't know if much changed. And so there's different, like they throw in different curveballs here and there throughout the show. Because one of the ways that they like know about these people is social media. And so one girl was special needs. She was very low functioning and had a social worker. And part of what he was doing with her, he's like, he got on social media and they created a Facebook profile to show her what it was like. And so she said she was a librarian and he was a reporter and all this stuff. So she comes back and right before she died, this person entered her body and now her consciousness. And so she's like really smart now. And the social worker's like, what is happening? And he's like trying to like figure this out. And so, but the opening quote was from that show, because there's a part where they're like trying to figure out like what makes people people, like what makes you,
so what's your consciousness?
Yeah. So he says, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know what makes us who we are, but I got to figure it's more than just a sum of what we remember.
Ah.
And
so it's more than your brain.
Yeah. It's more than just, because he's starting to fall in love with this, the wife, his wife, but it's not really his wife. It's just this person that he now has to pretend to be. And so it's like, they're just debating on like, what makes you, you?
You're just atoms.
Yeah. It's like, is it more than just memories? Cause it's gotta be more than just memories. If it's not more than memories, then what is it? And so it's kind of like getting at this concept of the soul and all that. Yeah. So I liked it for that aspect of it. Yeah, you can poke holes in anything with time travel. You can always poke holes in it. But they have.
So they're just transferring. They're not stuck in the past, are they?
So now they're, well,
they are stuck in the past.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
Or is it they're like a link from their present body to the past? And so if they sever the link, then it stops transmitting, and then that person would just die.
So is there, I'm not sure, because they never, like, there's like, there's little, like, flashes of the future, but, like, nothing, it's more like in dreams, so you don't really know, like, if they're, like, hooked up to a machine in the future that's keeping their other body alive.
Because then I could see how, because if their consciousness is planted in it and totally separate, then.
Yeah, because.
Then you're like, you should be physically held back by your.
Well,
with the girl on the brain.
Can I spoil something?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because Adrian, you said you watched 4 episodes and didn't really care for it. So there's one of the people that they have to reset because the body they got sent back into had an issue. And so in order for them to like fix it, they have to reset them. And so
what?
So they like take the consciousness away and then put it back in.
Is that how they do that?
Yeah.
Who did that?
I don't know. The people in the future. Because like somebody comes from the future, so
I feel like it's a link. Then it's just a link.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But that's the thing. They don't like get hung up on the science of it very much, and so because it's just like these people trying to live their lives, but also like they deal with like purposelessness because they do this mission and all this stuff. So what is the way their way of happiness? What gets in the way of their happiness? A lot of times it's the missions from the future. They're like, oh, I'm trying to like live my life and do all this stuff, and now I have to like pretend I'm this other person that I'm not, and all this stuff. And so, do they portray good as evil? Good as good, and evil as evil. Yeah, for the most part, there's some stuff where one of the guys was a drug user, and so he's like trying to wean himself off of it. But they're like, okay, are you just doing this because you like the feel of it, or are you doing it to actually help yourself? Mm-hmm. And then my favorite scene, and why it was that scene where that quote, because there he's talking with this girl, and they're trying to like figure out like what to do with her. And so the worldview, I'd say it's that life is important. Yeah. Life matters, because even though a lot of people die, like they transfer their consciousness because they're like, hey, we want to make the future a better place for our ancestors, like for the people that. And so if we can go back and help fix that, then let's do that. And so they're like, well, why don't you go back this many years to do this? And like, you know, it has to be during the age of the internet, because that's how there's something with because they have to be able to see them like on cameras and stuff to know where the point of death is. But one of the things is, like, they're not supposed to help people. They're not supposed to save people. Because the historian guy knows, like, all these information. He knows, like, when people are going to die. Because that's when they send consciousness into people. But this one guy was like, wait, I like this person. They're a kind person. I don't want them to die. So he takes them way out into the woods so that they can't die. Because they're like, he's like, all right, you're away from all these cameras so they can't get you. Because you're away from technology and stuff. And then...
weird.
Then she gets on the phone and they find her. No. It's good. I really liked it. Yeah, I did. Adrian, I'm sorry that you didn't like it. Because I really, really enjoyed the show. A lot more than I thought I was. It's just an interesting concept. I like.
We have different tastes.
I know.
Some people have good taste.
Yeah. You haven't got to the episode where they got in a car wreck, did you?
No.
Okay. That episode.
I just wish you guys would watch anime. Then we can talk about so
much. Okay. Do you guys want to talk about Passengers?
No.
No?
Okay. Wow.
Oh, man. All right.
Now, wait a minute. This is great. Passengers are great.
We can pick one of them.
Sing sounds dumb.
I like Sing, but...
what is it? Some sort of musical?
Yeah, it's a cartoon based on, like, a singing competition.
Yeah, sounds dumb.
Matthew McConaughey is a koala bear. How is that dumb?
I mean, I like Matthew McConaughey, but he shouldn't be a koala bear.
Alright, I want to hear about Passengers.
Alright, so here we go.
We'll take it through. Kristen, can you handle spoilers?
Sure.
So you're not going to watch it. You know you're not going to
watch
it.
I will eventually, but...
Yeah, eventually. Okay. Let's just say it's like Titanic.
Okay, so Passengers, do we want to go through the plot really quick, or just...
Sure. Hey, spoiler alerts, everybody. I mean, you already spoiled half that show.
I just want to have that show. I told you, like, one little thing now.
Oh, this is a movie.
They're if you cannot tell the ending, I would like that. Man, you have to tell the ending... Oh.
That's tough.
That's like the whole point of the... Yeah. That's where you get the worldview.
Oh, great.
So, okay. So, we start off on a ship. And a ship is just traveling through space.
Quick enough.
And, and it's traveling through space. And it's on autopilot.
Then the opening credits happen. No, it's MGM Studios.
This is important.
Houghton Mifflin.
So, it's going along. And it's on autopilot. Everybody's asleep. And it's going through an asteroid field. And so you notice how the computer's trying to be like, hey, which route should it go? And the route it chooses, it ends up hitting a massive asteroid. And you're like, that's not good. It's probably going to blow up the ship. But it doesn't because it's got some sort of shield on it. And so you're like, oh, they're okay. And then you notice how it damages some stuff on the ship, but it automatically repairs. You're like, oh. And then it cuts to Chris Pratt waking up. Basically. And you're like, what? Why did Chris Pratt wake up? So he wakes up. He goes through this spiel.
But he's an unknown actor.
It's supposed to be a 120-year-long trip. And within the last 40 days, 4 months, they'll wake up all the crew and get them ready. And so it goes through the spiel of basically him waking up and saying, hey, this is your new life. Welcome to it. But he's like, where is everybody? Why am I the only one awake? So he's kind of dealing with this. And he's like, why can't I go back to sleep? Because he can't. So he's stuck. So there's one other character in it.
They've only been traveling, what, 90 years?
They've traveled 30 years. They still have 90 more to go.
Oh, okay.
So basically he's like, I'm a dead man. That's what he starts realizing as he goes. He says, I'm going to die before anybody wakes up because he's 30-something.
So is this similar to Rocket Man where Harlan Williams doesn't go to the cryogenic sleep when they're going to Mars?
What is Rocket Man? What?
Oh, man. Okay.
No, more like the... Inception, or is it not Inception, the space movie where he like ages. They go out and they're gone for 5 minutes.
Interstellar.
Oh. Interstellar. Yes. They're gone for 5 minutes, and then they come back, and it's been like 15 years of him by himself.
Yeah. So here is this guy, and he's just dealing with this, and he's going to make the best of it because he's like, well, okay, I can't do anything about it. He can't get to the crew; they're locked up, but he can enjoy life. So he starts living for himself, and he's like, well, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to get the penthouse suite, because you have different levels of you're a passenger, you're a poor passenger, you're a medium. Oh. And so he's in the poor room, but he's like, I'm going to sleep in the penthouse.
So this is Titanic in space.
Yeah,
but he's the only one on the ship. So okay. Everyone else, yeah. And he doesn't know that. There's nothing wrong with the ship. He's just living out his life. He's like, I'm going to die, okay. But as he goes, after enjoying himself for a year... Almost, he's like gotten desperate. He's like, man, I just
over a year.
I'm losing. It's been about a year, I think, because they celebrate her birthday.
Is she awake now?
No.
Oh.
It's just him. But he's like, I have nothing to live for. I've lived for all the pleasure that I can on the ship.
So it's the first hour of the movie is just him by himself.
Yes, and he's figuring it out.
No, it's like 15 minutes. This is taking way too long.
Right, so then it's shorter in the movie than right? Yeah. He goes out into space, and he's just going to kill himself. Actually, he doesn't. He goes out of space, and he does a spacewalk. He comes back in, but then he takes off his suit, and he's about to jettison himself out. And he pauses, and he does it, and he comes back in, and that's when he notices a girl. He gets obsessed with her. And then he starts contemplating, do I wake her up? Because it's, I'm committing her to death. She can't go back to sleep. And then he eventually wakes her up. Yeah. And he sets it up like, what? You're awake?
Oh, so he pretends
that. He pretends that she
just, her pod broke.
That they were both a fluke.
Yeah.
Like that she was also a fluke. So she doesn't know.
Yeah. And so then they live together forever. It takes a couple months for them to get together or whatever.
Yeah.
And then after a year, they're at the bar celebrating her birthday. They call it a birthday because she woke up from the pod.
Okay.
And you know the bartender?
Yeah.
From the preview. So earlier, he was contemplating. He talked to the bartender. That's the only person he had to talk to. And so he shared things. He's like, hey, don't tell her this. And so he goes off. He pulls out a ring, and he goes off to check on something. And while he's gone, he tells the bartender there's no secrets between them. So the bartender's like, oh, so how do you feel about Chris waking you up? And she's like, because he basically committed her to death.
Yeah.
And that's when it blows up, and then they separate. And then, as it's going, a crew member wakes up. And they're like, what? A crew member's up? And then that's...
This is going way too long.
I know. Right. Okay, let me finish this.
As long as yours, okay,
the crew member the crew member wakes up, but he's dying. He tells them that they need to do a certain thing to fix the ship, and then he dies.
Well, he says something's wrong with the ship. You got to figure it out.
Yes, I'm telling this the last part of the synopsis because I'm
going to
be
five so much.
Minutes. Right. So basically, they have to team back up, or they're going to just die, and everybody else is going to die.
Okay.
So they have to team back up. So that's kind of them trying to reconcile, but not really. Then Chris Pratt basically sacrifices himself, and she realizes at that moment she can't really live without him, so she, like, does the spacewalk, goes and gets him, and...
Because he had to go outside the ship to save the ship. Okay. She didn't get that part. You have no idea.
You die, I die.
Basically, yeah, that's what she says. She chooses to save him. She takes him to the medical... There's, like, a medical pod, and wakes him up and heals him. So then Chris Pratt finds a way to put her back into hypersleep.
Oh. So
this is the spoiler. There's only one pod to put her back into hypersleep, and she chooses not to.
Oh.
So then it flashes to everybody waking up at the proper time. The ship was saved, and they wake up, and the whole ship is like their life on the ship. Of like, there's trees and plants.
He planted a tree in the ship. And basically, in the future, it's like a garden. So kind of like a Garden of Eden, because they're the only two people on the ship.
Yeah.
And you're like, what about their kids? Where
they? I know. I wondered if they had kids
that'd be
or
great.
Not. But anyway, the whole ship is like a big garden.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so I loved it. I thought it was great. I was like, because all right, so let's go through this. What does this portray as a means to happiness? Yeah, I think a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. I need you. You need me. I woke up for a certain reason.
Like, and they talk a lot about that in their past lives and why they chose to get on the ship. Like, what were they running from? Something? Were they unhappy with their previous lives? And that was a big part of her story, was just always chasing the grander story.
Yeah, she was literally traveling 120 years to write a story, and then she's going to go back to Earth 120 years later, so
that she could have the greatest story ever written.
It's kind of weird, the time, because you're like, man, I feel like the Earth would be blown up or something.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be traveling there. I guess it's not there. But yeah, so happiness is that. What gets in the way of their happiness?
Space.
Yeah.
Space is hard.
Space.
Do they portray good as good and evil as evil? You know,
they're selves. They get in the way of their own happiness.
Well, yeah, because he lied to her, and there's deception and all that. But so it was the relation... The lack of relationship was getting in the way of their happiness.
But he struggled with, do I wake her up? I know it's evil. I know what I'm doing. And they didn't give it as much weight.
I mean, he basically killed her. That's what she said. Like, you murdered me.
Yeah. But you don't feel... I didn't feel the weight of that for Chris Pratt. I don't think, maybe they didn't give it enough, but he just felt like a good guy. And you're just like, he's just a, you understand.
One of our needs is for companionship. Yeah. So he saved himself and saved her in the process. Okay.
Well, he saved everybody. If she wouldn't have woken up, everybody would have died.
That's the problem I had with the movie, is this storm happened. Chris Pratt happened to wake up. He happened to wake her up. Uh-huh. Like, all of their circumstances led to them fixing the ship. Like, he happened to be an engineer. He said we woke up
for a reason. It's called fate.
Right. But it was too fate. Unless there's a God figure in the movie.
God showed up. Actually, that's the thing, though. Marriage. They did portray marriage as meaningful. Because I was like, why would he want to marry her if they're the only two people on the ship? Nobody else is woke. They're going to be dead before anybody else wakes up. Why is it so important for them to have a committed marriage relationship? Now, they didn't specify marriage, but he had a ring. And a ring is pretty universal symbol of, hey, we're committed in marriage. Especially at the geared audience, which is a Western audience. So I found that to be great. I was like, even in space alone, there's still something more you want out of this. You don't want to just be, hey, we're living together, we're sleeping together. I want to say I'm committed to you till death.
Yeah, even if you don't, that's cool. So what was the worldview then? We'll skip your favorite scene and why.
Well, that was my favorite.
Okay.
I mean, I think, the relationship is more important than your task or your...
Circumstances,
yeah. Having that personal relationship.
All right, well, let's power down on the worldview machine. Okay. Bill Green, friend of the show, wrote in a great question. He was talking about... he lives in Chicago, and I'm going to give you his address too. But he was talking about the Bulls, and not just the Bulls, but the Chicago Bulls D-League team, the Windy City Bulls. So this is like their minor league, basketball minor league. But he said they had a faith night, and then he's like, I'd never heard of this for other teams. So he's like, I looked it up, and he's like, a lot of like minor league teams do this, even some major leagues. He's like, the Chicago White Sox, Minnesota Twins, like there's like baseball teams that do this. They do a faith night where they'll like after the game they'll have a Christian concert or some kind of thing. But he says, here's his question. He said, I don't want to be cynical or question the sincerity of anyone else involved, but these events would never happen without a marketing team seeing the chance of drawing a crowd. My question for you, is it appropriate or responsible to use faith/Christianity as a marketing tool? So Bill, thanks for this question. This is a great question. Yeah. Adrian, you said you had some thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Okay. I think, is it appropriate or responsible? Yes. If you're a marketer and you are marketing to a certain crowd or you know what's going to get the numbers, that's your job, then yes, advertise to Christians because it's going to blow up. As we've seen with like the War Room and, you know, Facing the Giants or all of those.
Yeah.
Those are poorly made, but they do so well. They're bad movies, like, in the sense of, like...
Oh, man.
Like
those,
but hey, no, whatever. Like,
bad quality.
Sorry to our other Bill who is listening to this.
Yeah, I like him, Bill.
Bill Wall.
Bill, I'm a fan. Bill Wall will yell at Adrian later.
Oh, no,
I think
sorry.
They have a good message,
no.
Bill.
Just kidding, but keep going.
Yeah, they do have a good message. I'm not saying the message is bad. I'm just saying, like, as a creative person who values media, those are not well made. And they're cheesy and all that. But anyway, they do very well because it has a Christian audience. So, like, secular venues and marketers are targeting Christians more. If you've noticed, like, the Passion of the Christ, the Noah, like, biblical-themed movies are happening again because they're realizing they're going to make a lot of money, good or bad. So,
it's going to be the worst movie in the world.
Yes, this seems common to me. We have a faith night here with our hockey team. We've never participated in it, but
I haven't either.
All this to say, what's like, this is not going to stop God from doing his work. So I think it's definitely appropriate. If they're going to have a faith night, then let's, as Christians, embrace that and be like, there's going to be a lot of non-Christians here because they're just coming to see sports.
So do you think non-Christians will stay in for the concert? I mean, some of them might. Like, hey, we got a concert coming up.
Yeah, and he said they gave a testimony, what, during halftime?
Probably not during halftime. I don't know. Let's see. Faith theme event.
I mean, even...
Yeah, no, advertising a post-game testimony by former Bull Bill Cartwright. So it was after the game.
Right. There might be people that stay.
Yeah, because like, oh, I like Bill Cartwright. I'm going to listen to him.
Right.
What does he have to say to my life?
Yeah. So.
What do you got for me, Bill?
Even if the intentions aren't good from the marketing standpoint, or they're like, well, we don't care about Christians or whatever, it's like, it's still catering to people. They're going to make it for Christians.
Yeah. Well,
I'll enjoy it.
Everything promotes a worldview. So if they're promoting Christianity, the worldview of Christianity, they're going to find out about Christian culture. They're going to find out what makes Christians show up to events and do that. So
crosses help.
I would say I have a little bit of a different take on that. I agree with what you said. I don't like the idea of like Christians just showing up to Christian events. Like, I don't know. I just went to Passion.
This is a different.
So yeah. I just went to the giant. Well, no, because our church, we used to do Christian concerts all the time. And we found that our Christian concerts, when we advertised, we would go to other churches and be like, hey, bring your youth group, fill up our church.
Right, but you're a church. Like, you're already a church-based thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this is not affiliated with the church, but they're like sharing testimonies and having Christian things.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So I agree with that. I think it's a cool thing, but do Christians just show up to it? And we already kind of discussed that. But the other part of it is like the whole marketing thing of using Christianity. Like, I think of the Robert Tilton guy that's like the farting preacher. You can look up on YouTube, but he's the guy that like just basically misquotes scripture and does all this stuff to like get people to send him money. And so I'm like, okay, he's using Christianity to get rich, like to get money. Like he's just doing this thing. In college, one of our professors had these two books, and one was it was this rainbow going into a pot of gold, and it was like how to make like financial gain in this world or something. And then it was the exact same book, except instead of a pot of gold, it was a holy Bible glowing, and it had the rainbow going to it. It's like how to use your finances to get wealth or something. It was like the exact same book, except they just changed the cover so Christians would buy it. And I'm like, okay, that's the stuff that I'm like, I don't want it to be slimy or underhanded. Right. And I don't think the sports thing is. I think, but you do have to be careful, because if people are just marketing, if they're just using Christians as a way to gain money, and they know like, oh, well, Christians will buy this, or they'll get like do this thing, then it's kind of like, oh.
And I think that's the responsibility of the Christian. Like, they asked our church to, you know, be a sponsor or whatever, and bring people and all of that. And I think then it would become our right or duty to go and check it out. Like, what's the testimony being said? You know, what are they going to ask of us or the people there and that kind of thing? And I think, like you said, with the, you know, those people who are more like the health and wealth prosperity gospel, who are using Christians to get money.
Yeah.
That is blatantly like sinning and twisting the word. Are, you know, the sports people twisting the word to get people there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I wouldn't go that far. James, your thoughts?
You know, I think it's, as far as a secular thing, sure, they can use marketing. Like, why not? Anything to make a buck. Yeah. Now, as a Christian, marketing Christian stuff.
So if you were a marketer in...
Heck yeah, I'll use anything. It's about making money, right? At the end of the day...
You're trying to get people there.
I'll be like, hey, well, I can put it this way. I'm like, well, it builds community, and I know the faith community's out there, and it's a big part of this part of the world, and so...
So Bill's question, is it responsible or appropriate to use faith as a marketing tool?
Yeah.
For a marketer that's a Christian?
Oh, so you're saying if you're a Christian.
If you're a Christian and you're marketing and you're like, hey, I know how we can get a lot of people here and get money. But I
think you could also use your influence and make it. You're trying to be a witness. And so you're like, hey, how can I help give Christianity a platform?
Yeah. So
I mean, it doesn't cost anymore. It's not like you're charging them extra. It's just a night that emphasizes faith. Saying, hey, tonight, afterwards, we're going to have a band, and we're going to have a speaker. And so we're giving you guys a platform, a place. And not everybody there is a Christian. So if anything, you might attract people. So I think it's actually a cool idea. Is it... Now, will more Christians come? Maybe. Am I making some money off of it? Possibly, but I didn't change the price. And I gave them a platform where other people who aren't Christianized might even engage.
So I was at Chili's last night, and on the table there was a thing that said Chili's father-daughter date night, like January 18th or something. I was like, oh, I should probably do that. Like in my mind, like I'm immediately like, oh yeah, I need to be a good father.
Start that.
Yeah, and so I was thinking about that because when he asked this question, I'm like, all right, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like oh, Christians are showing up to the hockey game. Well, I should be there. I need to be at the hockey game that night. It's my peeps.
I mean, it's like.
Like, I feel, not an obligation, but like, oh, I should be doing this. This is a way for me to engage in my community and maybe meet some people that aren't engaged in Christian community or don't know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so, like, hey, this is a great opportunity. So, I think it was, but this is the marketing dilemma always. It's the product versus the people. And so, you're the marketer, like, the business person, their goal is to make money.
Yes.
But they have to care about the people. Yeah. Like, if you don't care about the people, then you're just using them. But you have to, like, care deeply about who they are and where they're at. And so I think for a marketer to be like, hey, this is a way to engage Christians who may or may not come to our games, but we can get them here. And in the process, we can make money. We can also reach some people, maybe, if they're a Christian marketer, saying, hey, we could reach some people that we're not going to reach. So... this is a great question. So I'd say, yeah, it's a good thing. Is it appropriate or responsible? I don't know. I don't know if I can. Adrian, is it appropriate or responsible?
I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're the only one who doesn't know.
Well, because I think about Paul now. So Paul was like, I've become all things to all people.
I'll use all things for the gospel.
Yeah.
If it gets the gospel out there, let's
so
do it.
If I...
That's why I'm for it.
Okay, I'm for it.
And you're not, are you compromising something? Are you being evil?
No, right. I don't think so.
If their purpose is to make, to get more people at the game and so make more money. But if their purpose was like, let's get all the Christians here and then... like ask them for to donate to this cause or whatever, then I'd start to be like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah.
You know, but for that, in that case, I think it's just a marketing. You're marketing to a certain people group and culture, which we do that for anything. We market to certain people groups and cultures.
Our church, we church market.
Would you rather have this? They ignore it completely. They're like, they're not a part of culture.
Yeah.
They're like, why aren't you recognizing us? We're a big staple.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. If they were giving a night to everybody else, but they're like, you guys aren't important, we don't care, and we don't want you proselytizing, so we're not going to give you a night. Then you'll be offended.
Yeah, I'd be mad, and I'd go protest, but I won't go to the hockey night. Otherwise, I'm kidding. So, Bill, I want to see you at this Windy City Bulls game. Afterward, when Bill Watson, or whatever his name was, is talking, Bill Cartwright, when he's talking, I want a picture of... him with you in the background with your shirt off and a big cross painted on your belly. Like, I want some body paint on you.
We got to have John 3:16 written on your forehead.
John 3:16 on your forehead. Well, he can have a poster of John 3:16 with a big cross body painted on you. So,
put a cross on your forehead.
Bill Picker didn't happen. So, all right, we're about to wrap up, but I saw this article about new teen slang. So, you're going to learn some new teen slang. Parents, pay close attention. Merc means to kill or murder. So, James, I'm gonna murk you later.
That, actually, a lot.
Okay, this is my favorite. Vague booking. A intentionally vague Facebook status update or prompting friends to ask what is wrong.
Yep.
It can be used as a cry for help or as an insecure ploy for attention.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Vague booking. You've done that, James?
Yeah. I did that yesterday.
What did you? Things are worse.
Nah, just to keep it all in
the take inside. The L means to admit defeat and take a loss in a situation, relationship, or project.
I learned that with the Mariah Carey incident. Oh. I saw lots of tweets about it, so I had to look it up.
She said take the L.
She took the last L of 2016.
Damn. Oh, yeah, she did.
An L.
Gucci, something that's cool, hip, or fresh. This podcast is Gucci. Mooning. Not to pull your pants down, but to ignore or mute someone via your iPhone by putting their number in do not disturb mode. So you can do that for individual numbers? James, I'm totally going to moon you later.
That'll never change. It'll always mean that.
This one, okay, parents, you got to listen to this one. It's just the number 9. If there's the number 9, like the actual number 9, not the word number 9, but the number 9, it means a parent is watching. So if you're like, look over your, if you're reading your kid's text and you see a 9, you're like, dude, they're totally up to something. And then ghosting, I feel like
we've gone over this, and this has been a while. And yeah. What, this was Matthew McConaughey's story?
Ghosting's been, this is an old one. The act of suddenly ceasing all communication with someone you're dating, but no longer wish to date in hopes that they would just take the hint and go away. So you're like,
yeah, basically, you don't want to have that hard conversation. So you're like, well, I'm just going to ignore you.
I guess we're not something. Okay. Real quick, what are you looking forward to this next week or so? What's coming up on your horizon?
Mine's the same as yours.
So January 13th.
Yep.
Series of Unfortunate Events.
On Netflix.
Oh, man. Yes. Those books, I read them all. They're terrible. But they're so funny. They're so good, but they're so depressing.
That's terrible.
They're like...
They're just...
I mean, they're very well written and very hilarious.
Darkly, right?
Yeah, and this was a Jim Carrey movie a couple years back, so I'm interested to see...
It looks very similar stylistically.
It does.
Almost like exactly they're copying.
Because that style, yeah, I mean, that's how the books... That style of the books. Like, you're like, okay, yeah. This is... So it'll be interesting to see how this works. Neil Patrick Harris is Count Olaf, who you have to have an eccentric... Count Olaf. He's going to be great. So next week we'll have to talk about some. I probably won't have it all watched. But who knows? I might. James.
Man, you know, I don't
know. Not anything? Okay. Well, Titanfall? Are you looking forward to playing?
Destiny. I mean, I got some oil that smells. Smell oil? What is it called?
Essential oils?
Smelling salts?
Essential oil. I'm really excited. I'm going to. I love the smell. It's great. That's what I'm looking forward to this week. Smelling it all week.
All right, you weirdo. Hey, thanks for listening to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 85. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're texting. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time.